Okay, praise God. Good morning. Come on, good morning. The house of God is supposed to be a place where we put on a smile. Let's put on a smile. Don't be so serious. This is not some lion club, some Rotary club, not some raising fund. Okay? Come on, be excited. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Isn't God good? Now, this church from day one has been birthed through the obedience of our forefathers. They heard the call of God, they came and they started the church, and now we are building on the obedience of our forefathers. That's why when we announced the building many years ago, 2000, in one of the camp, promptly this gentleman came and made a huge pledge. It'll blow your mind. Not your hair, it'll blow your mind. But he has been constantly reminding me, after all that has happened, that Pastor, my pledge is still on. And yesterday when we announced the building, announced this announcement, not building, we just announced the announcement. When he was going out, he said, Pastor, I want to see you next week and I want to talk to you about the pledge. Isn't God good? Lillian, good to have you. How is your husband, Schwartz? Charles Schwartzenegger. He's fine, huh? Send my regards to him. You have lost weight or are you on diet? Oh, intermittent fast. Okay. Don't be too intermittent. Okay, turn with me to your Bibles right now, please. We're glad visitors are here. I'm sharing pulpit with one of my sons. Yesterday I shared with one of my son who is banana outside, Derek. And today I'm sharing the pulpit with another son who's like my color, okay? Why are you laughing? Like your grandfather, man. Okay. John the 14th chapter. John the 14th chapter, verse 1 and 27. Just give me your ears. We are living in turbulent times. We're living in difficult times. I just got back from States, the news, in CNN, Fox, everything reports the war, the brutality, that real news. The real news. Everybody say real news. Not what we have here, it's a real news, you know. And people are troubled. Many of them are troubled. I preached in Austin, I preached in San Francisco. The concern the people have is there going to be a third world war. You know, we thought Russia and Ukraine was worse. Now this war on both sides is utter brutality. One side using the human as their shield. That's terrorism. Children are dying. Innocent people have been held hostage. We're living in troubled time. Say troubled time. Everybody say troubled time. But even though we're living in troubled time, God still has got his time and season for his people. And God's season is always productive and effective. Are you here with me? So therefore, no matter how troubled you are, I want you to know that your times are in the hands of God. Psalms 31 verse 15, David said, my times. Huh, Florence? My time and season. I'll be seeing you next month in Church of Praise. Times and season. God is a God of time and season. Our times are in the hands of God. God doesn't change, but he changes our time and season. We have 43 days before we enter into 2024. I entitled this short message, Enter 2024 with a Heart of Confidence. Heart of Confidence. There is no visible sign or evidence that the political upheaval in Malaysia will soon come to an end. Wrong amen, son. You should be saying, ouch. Okay? Likewise, the war that's raging, there's no clear sign it's going to come to an end. But one thing is for sure, that God will continue to be faithful to his people. Come on, put your hands together and give Jesus the glory. Let's enter into 2024 with a heart of confidence. Even though, I'm going to come back to the scripture in a short while, Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1, in the last days, stressful time will come. Perilous time will come. Time of turmoil will come in the last days. Paul didn't downplay this. The last days, you know, Paul didn't downplay that the last day is going to be good and whatever. Jesus also did not downplay what will happen in the last days. There'll be troubled time. Jesus said in Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 8, Jesus said, after announcing the signs of his coming, war, kingdom divided against kingdom, and deception, famine, pestilence, earthquake, rumors of war. But Jesus said, all this, if you think is extreme, I've got news for you. In Matthew 24 and verse 8, Jesus said, my friends, this is just the beginning of sorrow. Beginning of sorrow. Come on, somebody say amen, please. So the Bible in no way downplays their troubled times. We can't live in denial. We can't live in our rosy Christian life to confess and to possess. But troubled times will come. But in this troubled time, you know what? Our foundation will become stronger, that we will not be shaken. Come on, put your hands together, give Jesus the glory. We'll become people who are strong, who have boldness to pray for the war to cease, boldness to pray for atrocity in this world to come to an end, because the people of God will be built stronger in the difficult time, so that when times of difficulty comes, they will stand tall above the circumstances. The mic is playing up. Come on. Are you here with me? I got echo at the back. Okay? Right. Are you here with me? Now let me just read the scripture. We don't want to be a Christian who are cotton candy. We don't want to be a Christian who are jelly beans. We don't want to be a Christian who are aga-aga, jelly. But we want to be solid. Say solid. All this news can bring you grief, can bring you sadness. At the same time, all this news that we are hearing must make us strong. Come on, are you here with me? Someone said this, when in difficult time, when you don't know how to live your Christian life and you're reacting to your circumstance and situation, it talks about your foundation. Are you here with me? Dr. Manoj, is it true? Come on, somebody say amen, please. That's why Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, Paul says, my brethren, be steadfast. Everybody say steadfast. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Come on, are you here with me? I entitle this message, let's enter into 2024 with a heart of confidence. And we have 43 days, right? I said 43 days, right? 43 days before 2024. You know, friends, let's read. John 14 verse 1 and 2. No, John 14 verse 1 and verse 27. Jesus said this, let your heart, let not your heart be troubled. Puyao Yuli. Right? Puyao Yuli. Jangan kamu dikhawatir. Kavale padadir hal. All three languages. Just in case if you miss anyone. Let not your heart be troubled. Puyao Yuli. You believe in God. You also believe in me. Come on, somebody say amen, please. That's why we need to be firm. That we will be determined not to backslide. We will be determined not to be offended. We will be determined not to just fall by the wayside. That people in Calvary community churches will be oak trees, strong, standing. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. And verse 27, somebody just clapped. Verse 27, I like this. This word speaks volume to me. Jesus said, my peace, wo the ping an, my peace I give to you. My peace, that means my presence I give to you. Look at the next one. Amy, look at the next part of the verse. What does it say? Read. I'm asking her to read. Hello? She probably? No? My peace I give you. What else? No. First one is, my peace. Sorry. Peace I live with you. That's the first one. Peace I live with you. That's the presence of God. And then look at the next one. My peace I give to you. The first one is the presence. The second one is the person. I give you the peace of God. You know, and then he said, my peace I live with you. My peace I give to you. Now this talks about, look at me, church. This is the good news. You know, what does Jesus mean by peace I give to you? It simply means Isaiah 53 in verse 5. I was wounded for your transgression. I was bruised for your iniquity. The punishment of your peace. The punishment of your peace was upon me. And by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Are you here with me? Both the presence of peace and the person of peace has been given to us. Not as the world would give, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Come on, we don't have some facility of peace, but we have the person of peace with us. Glory to God. You can put your hands together and give Jesus a glory. Come on, come on. Isn't that wonderful? That's why Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, he is my peace. He didn't say, he is the one who gave me peace, but he is my peace. The person of peace. He was broken. He was shattered. He was nailed and he was placed with a thorny crown and he died mercilessly, brutally, so that the person of peace can be with us. Come on, isn't that wonderful? Come on, isn't that wonderful? In the Old Testament, they claimed the name of Jesus, Jehovah Shalom. They claim the name of Jesus. But in the New Testament, you don't claim the name of Jesus, but you have the person of Jesus. That's the good news. Come on, put your hands together and give Jesus a glory. Hallelujah. That's right. You don't have the presence of peace alone, but you have the person of peace, which is much better. The person of peace. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, isn't that wonderful? And this is what David said. Where's my co-preacher? This is what David said. Hear this. At this difficult time, you know, we don't know where our nation is going. Our prime minister has become a whatever. You know, I don't want to say anything in the pulpit. We celebrated his coming in, but now, Wiki, look what's happening. You know, what's happening? Is somebody changing their color? Is he a turncoat? What's happening? Come on. Taxpayers' money are being sent out to support terrorism. Everybody's talking about it. Don't come in. Don't worry. Everybody's talking about it. Okay? They don't want to do anything to me. Don't worry. Come on. Are you here with me? Suddenly the nation has become like disarrayed. You know, the little hope that we have, this nation will enter into a season of jubilee, also is dashed right now. What's going to happen? were crying out for God's mercy. Come on, somebody say amen, please. In the midst of all this, the church of God has to be strong. Come on, somebody say amen, please. That's why David said this regarding the peace of God and the person of God. David said this in Psalm 61. Give me a yes. Psalm 61. I want to build foundation this morning in your heart. In Psalms 61, verse 1, David said, I cry to you, Lord. And that's what we did. In the pre-service, we cried to God for peace in the Middle East. People are just dying. The prophecies of God are being delayed. Seriously, we cried. And David said, I cried out to you. And he said, attend to my prayer. Lord, attend to my prayer. And he says, from the ends of the earth, from the ends of the earth, in my hopelessness, in my despair, in my dismay, from the ends of the earth, I cry to you. I cry to you. I've given up everything that I can try. And he said, lead me when my heart is overwhelmed. When my heart is what? When my heart, your eyes red. When my heart is overwhelmed. When my heart is troubled. When my heart is in panic mode. When my heart is in despair, when my heart is in anxiety, I'm desperate. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. And that rock is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Come on. Somebody shout amen, please. You have been my shelter. You have been my strong tower against my enemy. In your tabernacle, in your tabernacle, I will abide in a tabernacle forever, and I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Come on, put your hands together and give Jesus the glory. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, people of God, isn't that wonderful? Often when we go and pray for people, Pastor Boy will often quote a scripture. When I first started discipling Pastor Boy, he was really, cannot remember his phone number. So. Sorry, boy. I mean, regarding scriptures many years ago. But over the years, this man has become a man who will carry the word of God. And this is what he will pray. Often I've said, I've heard him pray when he goes to people's house. Psalms 125, verse 1 and 2. You know, this is what he'll pray. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. Have you gone to Israel? Okay, I've gone Mount Zion. Have you seen? Go all over the world, but not Israel. Okay, from Denmark to Kota Tinggi, all over the world they can go. Israel, you know. Okay, Mount Zion, you know, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. They cannot be moved and they abide forever. Okay, like Jerusalem, look at the next verse, verse 2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, you've been to Jerusalem, mountains all around, mountains. So the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth forevermore. Glory to God. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Isn't God good? Come on, isn't God good? The purpose of this short message before Pastor Jonathan comes, four ways. I think the mic is, can you hear me? Four ways. I want to soften my voice. Four ways to let not your heart to be troubled. Four ways. Okay? How many of you want to know that? Okay, only one person. Okay, I see you afterwards. Come, you can preach now. Only one person, I can disable the person. Okay, seriously, how many of you want to know four reasons how you cannot allow your heart to be troubled? Upends. Okay, only seven of them. Okay. The others don't have hand. Huh? Don't have hand. Some of them don't have hands. What happened to your hands? Huh? Come on. Okay, four ways. Number one, The first one, you know, to avoid a troubled heart, rely. Everybody say rely. Rely on the Holy Spirit to teach you peace when your heart feels trouble. Rely on the Holy Spirit to teach you, peace when your heart is troubled. Come on, somebody say amen, please. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of peace. Now, how can you allow the Holy Spirit to teach you? 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, verse 2 and verse 4. How do you allow the Holy Spirit? The Bible tells us very clearly. Now, look at me. Let me talk. For he who speaks in tongue does not speak to men, but speak to God. And he speaks mysteries in his spirit. The mystery about the prophetic utterance and pathway in your life. He who speaks in tongue, not pray in tongues. You know what happens when you speak to God? There's an exchange of strength. There's an exchange of anointing. There's an exchange of his power. He who speaks in tongue, ku reta seta, reta seta, shedaraba seta, reta, reta. Don't apologize for speaking in tongues. He who speaks in tongue speaks to God. When you speak to God, there's a mutual exchange, synergy, exchange of spiritual strength. Isn't that wonderful? And verse 4 says, he who prophesies edifies the church. Okay, he who speaks in tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. You know, when you speak in tongue, the word edify, say edify. The Greek word for that is oikodonomo. Oikodonomo. And you need to know, that word is a contractor's word. He's the contractor of the church. Okay? You know, contractor, the word construction. You want me to beat him? Okay, oikodonomo. Say oikodonomo. The word oikodonomo means to construct. To construct, Magdalene. You know the word construct. When you speak in tongues, you know, strength upon strength, wisdom upon wisdom, anointing upon anointing, unction upon unction, you are built inside as a stronger person. This is what it means in Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Come on, somebody say amen, please. That's how you will allow the Spirit of God to teach you peace. Then you begin to speak his language. Not praying in tongues, but speaking in tongues. Come on, somebody say amen, please. That's number one. Rely on the Holy Spirit to teach you peace when your heart feels troubled. Romans 8:14 says, as many as were led by the Spirit of God, these are sons and daughters of God. What a matured position. Number two, how to keep your heart from trouble. Number two, actively remind yourself not to be troubled. Come on, not to be troubled. Remind yourself. Like Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, Paul said, Vincent, are you here? Okay, Paul says in Philippians, are you here? I went to Singapore. For a while you went to Singapore, right? So I saw you, okay? Are you back now? Okay, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, Paul says, remind yourself, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Puyao, what? Puyao, tangsin. Yeah, right. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, everybody say everything. In everything, by prayer, by supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Come on, put your hands together and give Jesus the glory. Hallelujah. That's right. Remind yourself not to be troubled. Actively remind yourself to not to be troubled. Isn't that wonderful? Romans, look at me. Church, look at me. Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 11 says, do not lack in diligence. Be fervent in the spirit. Be fervent in the spirit. And verse 12 says this. The key word is verse 12. Rejoice in hope. Everybody say rejoice in hope. Because hope in God will never fail. Rejoice in hope. If your marriage is not working today, it will work tomorrow. If your children are not working in obedience to you today, they'll work tomorrow. That's hope. Come on. Somebody say amen, please. Hope in God will not fail. Rejoice in hope. Be patient. Be patient in your suffering. And what? Continue what? In prayer. Be fervent in prayer. Isn't that wonderful? Number three. Number one, rely on the Holy Spirit to teach you peace when your heart feels troubled. Number two, actively remind yourself not to be troubled. Number three, stop. Everybody say stop. Not stop, look and go. This is stop, look and pray and go. Stop and pray immediately and consistently. Hallelujah. Are you here with me? When trouble time comes, one of the things that will be affected is our prayer life. We don't feel like praying because all the blame is on God. Either it's on the devil or God. And now it's on COVID. Ask pastors, why your church is not doing well is because of COVID. It's an excuse for inactive, ineffective leadership. Are you here with me? Come on. You're not pastors anyway. Leaders. COVID is long gone. Come on. Huh? COVID is long gone. Come on. Somebody say amen, please. Are you here with me? You know, David said in Psalms 56 and verse 3, whenever I'm afraid, I'll put my trust in God. Whenever I'm afraid, I'll put my trust in God. How do I do that? I pray. I pray my trouble. I prayerize, if there's such word. I prayerize my trouble. I don't discuss my trouble. I don't counsel my trouble. I don't analyze my trouble. I prayerize my trouble. My heart is overwhelmed and David was in trouble. This is what he did. In Psalms 40, verse 1 and 2. Lillian, are you here? Okay, he said this, I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. He heard my incline. He inclined to hear my cry. That means while he was waiting, he was crying. You know, waiting and crying. And then look what he says. Look what he says. He says, he also brought me out of their horrible peat and the miry clay and placed my feet upon the solid rock and established my feet and put a new song in my mouth. And everybody who heard the song praised God and trusted God. Come on, put your hands together and give Jesus the glory. That's right. Stop and start praying. God is about to turn your regret into rejoice, your delay into celebration. Come on, your remorse into a blessing. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, isn't that wonderful? Yes. Finally, number four. Is it number four now? Number four. I'm going to finish. Always do like what I do. You know, pastoring the church, the social works, missions, managing people. I don't know what's the total staff we have. Can somebody give me the number? PKK, church, PKK is 52. Church, ding, huh? 85. I can't see you, brother. Either I change my specs. 63, is it? Somebody shout from the back. 85. 52. 85. That's including Mia. And missions work. My biggest problem is managing people. They are stressful, but I still love them. That's why I survived this 41 years. Okay? Stressful. What do I do? Always I do this. Like a Sunday school kid, I always do this. use scriptures to remind your heart of God's promise. I use scriptures to remind myself of God's promise. I always do that. I always do that. It's not easy. You're running a transport company. I know troubles that you go through. Drivers cannot be trusted. They deliver half the good and half the good goes to their pocket and falsify their bills. Huh? And lorries disappear for days. Huh, Catherine? Shirley. Not Catherine. Shirley, sorry. She said, I'm drunk. Drunk in the Holy Spirit, okay? Can talk back now, huh? Because her training, I think. She train you, huh? Can talk back, you know? She's very quiet those days. Now can talk back because you're bad influence. Okay, I'm done. I'm going to finish. Bad influence, no? Hey, by the way, Catherine also does transport, okay? Hey, right away. No. Okay, don't talk about all that. Okay, now, coming back to this, you need to remind yourself. I give you a classic example, and I'm going to hand this time over to Pastor Jonathan. Now, in Lamentation, look at me. In Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 20, Lamentation chapter 3 verse 20, look at that scripture. Okay. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. And that's hopelessness. You know, we count all our troubles and we fail to count all our blessings. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. And look at verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Everybody say recall. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. What did he recall? He recalled the promises of God. Next consecutive verses. It is because of God's mercies we are not consumed. And they change not. And they are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Look at that. Therefore, I will declare. Give me the next verse. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Sorrow and trouble is not my portion. Distress and frustration is not my portion. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope. Come on. And then, look at the verse 25. God is good to those who wait and seek him. Glory to God. Now, you can put your hands together and give Jesus the glory. I tell you, isn't God good? Come on, somebody say amen, please. And I declare prophetically, no matter what happens to the surrounding, no matter what happens to the nations of the world, I declare you and I who are firmly rooted in the Lord will not be hijacked from the time and the season that God has for us and our family. Put your hands together, give Jesus the glory. Hallelujah. Jonathan, can you come?
That water is yours. Amen. Church, as Pastor Rajan was just preaching, I really fell in my heart. This morning, the Lord wants to infuse courage in our heart. This boldness to know before you enter 2024, your confidence in God will take you through. Amen. And I believe this morning the Lord is stirring our heart, you know, to be confident in different aspects. And as I was just looking at the word, do you know there's about 8,810 promises of God in the word for you? Wow. There's about 8,000 word of God. There's about 8,000 rhema word of God is waiting for you to put your confidence in the word of God. How many of you know? Prophecy can fail and things can fail in our life, but the word of God will never fail over your life. Your confidence in what God says about you is far more greater than the confidence that you have in yourself, in the promise of God. 8,000. I was just thinking about, man, there's so many word that God has for you. Why God has, you know, just to think about the number, the, you know, I just wrote this down. The word of God, when you don't know what, you know, what to do, when you don't have confidence in yourself, when you don't have confidence, you know, you feel like you don't have the will of, don't know the will of God for your life. You don't have confidence in the future. You don't have confidence in anything. You can be confident in the will of God, in the word of God. You find your confidence in the will of God, that is in the word of God. The promises of God for your life is a sure thing. He's not a man that you will lie. He's not a man that will promise to not make it happen. He's a God of faithfulness. That's why Isaiah 55 says, surely the word that the Lord has spoken over your life, you know, the promises that he has spoken over your life, it will not, you know, it will not fall to ground. It will not come in vain. God will accomplish those things which he has spoken over your life. Amen. Your confidence in the word of the Lord. As the scripture says, you know, Joseph had, you know, he was facing his enemy. You know, one of the, you know, the scripture says, you know, you hear the words of the prophet and you shall prosper. The prophecy, the word that God has given us. That's why I love Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For this day the Lord will declare this to you. For I, the Lord, know the thoughts I have towards you. I, the Lord, know. Don't know the word know. It's not just like knowing in a very vague relationship. The word in Hebrew is also same word used as a yada. It's a word that says that God is saying like, I know you intimately. You're confident. It's not, if it is not, if you don't have confidence in your prayer, if you don't have confidence in anything, you can be confident. The one who calls you loves you. Yada means it's an intimate expression of God towards you. I want to suggest to you this morning, put your confidence on God's love towards your life. Of His love towards you. His love towards you. It's an intimate, personal, knowing word of God. That's why I love the Word of God, because this is the only book that when you read, the author of this book shows up. This is the only book when you read, the one who wrote, come and dine with you. That's why Psalm 23 says, I have prepared a table before you, before your enemies. I prepared a table for you before your enemies. God has a table for you before your enemy. What does that mean? You know, it's like this. You go through the troubles. All the enemies are coming against you. All the trouble. You know, it all. God allows it all around you. But who's sitting in front of you? Who's in the table? The King of Glory is on the table with you. And He sits in front of you and He dines with you. It doesn't matter what is around you, what goes through in the world, what goes through around us, the one that called you sits, prepare a table and sits with you. That's our faithful God. Amen. God's word. One word from the Lord. One word from the Lord, it can change our circumstances. One word, one prophetic utterance from the word of God in your spirit, it what will build your confidence in God. Amen. That's why the word of God is so powerful. You know, it's to continue what Pastor was saying, the promises of God. The word of God is the will of God. When you don't know, when you're not sure, when you are afraid, whatsoever, just know the author is waiting to speak to you. Just keep it simple and go, Lord, I'm here with you. That's what David said, whenever I'm afraid, I'll put my trust in you. How do I put my trust? Get to this. Jesus imprinted here is waiting to talk to us. Amen. You see, the word is so powerful that you know, this is the light. This is a light that shines in our soul. The word of God is like a light, you know, it illuminates inside of us. some of us, we need this in our soul. No, we need the word of God to just heal our soul. We need the word of God to begin to penetrate into our heart. That's why you cannot rush the word of God. This is not a fast food McDonald's. By the way, McDonald's is cheap right now. How many of you know that? The chick, Pastor Derek told me, okay? Yeah, it's cheap because for some reason. No one is in McDonald's. But the word of God is not a fast food. It's something that you chew into, you see. Let the word read to you. Let the word read to you. As you read the word reads you. There's some kind of, you know, oneness happen in the word and you. That's where your confidence begin to take place. Amen. Your confidence is in the word of God. And I believe as we go into next year, don't be distracted with what you're seeing around the world or whatever, because our confidence in the word of God, number two, our confidence is again and again, it's in the finished work of Jesus. Amen. It is in the finished work of Jesus. That's the blood of Jesus will never fail you. You can fail yourself. You can, things around you can fail. I tell you, whatever touches the blood, when the blood touches something, it gets purified, it gets forgiven, you know, everything becomes new through the blood. Amen. The blood of Jesus speaks louder than the hopelessness of the world. Amen. The blood of Jesus, our confidence is in the finished work of Jesus. The cross speaks louder. It took your sickness so that you can have, you know, healing and miracle. Amen. Our confidence in the finished work of Jesus. It took our curses so that we can be called the blessed one, the favored one of God. You're familiar with this. It took the very, you know, very depression so that He can crown us with His glory. The cross of Jesus, the cross of Jesus be our confidence again. The word of God that speaks in us, that reveals the will of God, that we become one with the word, that heals our heart, that brings direction to our, you know, to our life. And number two, it is the cross of Jesus. You know, the finished work of Jesus speaks about the victory of Jesus on the cross. For this reason, you know, so that's what Isaiah 53 says, you know, for He was wounded for our transgression. He was, you know, He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment of your peace, the punishment for our peace, the God of peace, the peace was, you know what? Was upon Him. When you put your trust on the finished work of Jesus, you begin to experience the peace of God. Amen. Begin to experience the peace of God. And finally, before we take communion, you're confident. It's in knowing that you have a Father who always hear your prayers. Amen. Your Father that always hear your prayer. Your Father, you know, you can look at Romans 16, 19, and for time's sake, you know, we don't look at the word, but I want to give you an example. Lazarus was dead in his tomb. He was dead, you know, he's no nothing, hope, no hope. Have you seen dead people having hope? So nothing is alive in Lazarus, and God, Jesus comes into the picture. He stands outside the tomb. You know, this is what He said. He didn't say, Lazarus, come on first, you know. You know what the Lord said? He said, Father, I thank You that You always hear my prayer. That was Jesus' confidence over His, you know, His ministry and over His life. What? The Father always hear my prayer. If you're sitting here believing the lies of the enemy, God doesn't hear you, God doesn't love you because of your standard, because of your measurement, I pray this morning the Lord will lift that lies off and know you have a Father that's connected to you. Romans 5 says, you have peace with God. Come on. You have such peace with God. No, Pastor, I didn't pray. No, it's not dependent on your performance. It's dependent on His faithfulness. You have such access to the presence of God. God hears our prayer. Amen. Come on, declare this. God hears my prayer. Come on, God hears my prayer. I pray that you won't be a spiritual orphan in your heart. God doesn't hear me, or you cannot connect with God. My friend, Romans 8 says, we have a Father that you can call Him Abba Father. Amen. Abba Father. That's the only place in the New Testament that's never translated. Holy Spirit kept it as Abba Father. The word Abba is Father. Father, Father. You carry the spirit of sonship. You are not an orphan. You have a father that runs to you. That's your confidence. You're confident, having a heart of faith. You know, it's confident knowing that God always hears your prayer. Not only hears your prayer, He will surely answer your prayer. Amen. A God that answers your prayer. Like Pastor Rajan always says, it just comes to my mind. Your denial, you know, denial doesn't mean, delay doesn't mean denial. Delay doesn't mean denial. So God's plan for you is perfect. God's plan for you is a sure thing. Even if it's delayed, it doesn't look the way you want it to be. I tell you something, a God who's fathering you, a God that cares for you, He will know exactly how to fulfill the purpose of your life. Somebody say, amen. He knows. God knows. My confidence is not in my, just in my calling and my gifting. My confidence that God knows me. Your confidence, God knows us. God knows you personally. He knows you. That's why you should, you know, that's how we grow in our confidence. God, you know every detail. Every hair that's in your head is numbered. Every detail, uncle, every detail of your life, your next decision, your next transition, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? The Father knows. Father knows exactly. Amen. That's what Romans 8 says. You know, what can separate you from the love of God? What can separate you from the love of God? Neither dead or principal. Here's the question. If all this thing fail, will you trust that God will stand for you? Amen. If enemy comes against you and these people don't trust you, that people misunderstand you, people you look up to, all this thing happens around you. Will you know the one that chose you, that called you, will stand for you? Come on, church. He will stand for you. Even when my father and my mother forsake you, David says, the Lord will take care of us. Amen. How if you're misunderstood? How if your things from you snatched? How if things fail, will you trust that my God will stand for with me? I believe what God is doing this morning is to infuse courage in your heart. To know and to know that where God is taking you next season, He wants you to be confident that the one who called you is faithful. Amen. God doesn't want you to have that doubt. Here's the thing, right? What enemy loves to do is, you know, it's not even sometimes doubt about you, no? Enemy likes to plant a seed of a doubt about God in your life. Did God really say that? That was the first, you know, enemy statement in the history, right? He looked at Eve and said, did God say? If the enemy can put doubt, unbelief, seed in your life, it will shake your confidence. But I pray this morning the Holy Spirit will empower you with the promises, with anointing. Because for a time and season such as this, the Lord anoints you for greater works, for greater harvest, for you, for your family, for the city, and for this nation. Amen. We are a people of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I want to stand to your feet this morning as we prepare our heart to take communion. Know and know and know that your confidence is in God. All over this place. Come on, let's prepare our heart. What an awesome presence. You're struggling with doubt, with unbelief, and you know your faith is shaken this morning. I believe the Lord is just gonna minister to you as we rely on the Holy Spirit. As we actively remind ourselves not to be in trouble, when we pray, when we use the word, something powerful will be released over your life. Amen, church. Come on. I want you to just lift your hands to the Lord. I just sense a spirit of breakthrough in this place. I want everyone in this room begin to pray in the spirit next 30 seconds before we take communion. Can we do that? Come on. Come on. Let's lift up praise in this morning. Let's lift up praise in the morning. Come on. Break off. Break off. Tell Lord. Break off the discouragement. Break off the troubled mind. Come on. It is not yours. Worry is not your portion. trouble is not your portion. Fear is not your portion. Come on. Come on. Tell the Lord. Lord, I will not take that. That will not be part of me. Come on. You know, come on. Let not fear trouble you. Come on. Tell the Lord. Lord, that's not mine. I don't want to have it, God. Come on. Give it to the Lord. 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 Even fear of missing out. Fear of missing out. Come on. Come on. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Come on. Rakaba shatarana masanda. Come on, yes, yes, yes. Reach out to the Lord. Let not your heart be troubled. Come on, ikarara shatara basanda. Whatever it is, come on, give it to the Lord. Let there be a beautiful exchange this morning before we take communion. Come on, beautiful exchange with the Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Rakarababa shete. Come on, I see breakthrough all over this place. Oh, Rakarababa Shotara Sunday. Tell the Lord, Lord, that thing is not mine. Oh, He's faithful. Rakababa Shatarabara Mashandai.
And I will trust in you, Lord, for you hear my cry. You are with me in the flood. You
come on,
are with
everybody.
Me
that's right.
The
whoa!
Flood. No hand that can erase every promise that you've made. You are faithful.
Come on, you're
in
faithful.
Every season, and I will trust in you, Lord, for you hear my cry.
Come on, all over this place.
You are with me in the flood. You are with me in the fire. There's no hand. You are faithful in every season, and I will trust in you, Lord, for you hear my cry. You are with me in the flood. You are with me in the fire. There's no hand that can erase every promise that you've made. You are faithful in every season.
That's right.
You are faithful.
Everybody, that's right.
In every season. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God.
Come on, everybody.
You're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to be seen.
Come on, one more time.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely.
Come on, sing it from your heart. Let's mean it. Hallelujah.
All together wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross.
Come on, let's just worship.
I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross.
Come on, call upon.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's unpack our communion. Thank you, Jesus. All over this place. Call upon just softly. Thank you, Jesus.
call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved.
Come on, call upon.
Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved.
Father, we thank you for the cup that signifies your precious blood that was shed for us so painfully. The bread that signifies your body that was brutally broken for us. Lord, we ask you to bless the cup and the bread as we partake this morning. Let this communion bring the peace of God into our hearts and the person of God, dear Father. Bless this communion. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 23 right up to 31. The night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And after giving thanks to the Father, he broke the bread. And he gave to the disciples and he said, "This bread, which is broken for you, signifies my broken body." And Jesus said, "As often as you eat this bread, do this in remembrance of me." And the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 33 and verse 6, God assigned his health and healing to each one of us to establish us in the stronghold of his peace. Let's eat this bread as a healing bread. Like manner, then Jesus took the cup and he gave to the disciples and he said, "This cup symbolizes the new covenant that I made through my blood, the covenant of forgiveness." And Jesus said, "As often as you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me until I come back." And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus through the forgiveness of all our sin according to the manifold grace of God. Amen. Let's drink this cup as a family. I want you to put the cup down, lift up your hands, call upon the name of the Lord.
Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved.
Come on, call upon. Hallelujah.
Call upon the name of the Lord
and be saved.
And be saved.
One more time, call upon the name of the Lord. That's right, call upon.
Call upon the name of the Lord and be
here
saved.
I am to worship. Come on.
So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to be here. altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
As your hands are lifted up, Father, I declare and decree your blessings upon your people. For this day, I declare 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 8. For God is able to make all grace abound towards you in all sufficiency and in all things, that you may have an abundance for good work. Lord, I just declare and decree this over your people. Let every bondages be broken in the name of Jesus. Let finances be released. Let healing be released. Let freedom be released. Let salvation be released. Let promotion be released. Father, in the name of Jesus, let it happen, dear Father. We declare it over your people. And they would say, I am blessed. I am healed. I am favored. Hallelujah. Lord, surrender them, their children, into their hands, dear Father. Bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.